Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 8 days before the election and nearly 42 million Americans have cast ballots already. ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas reporting 4.5 million Texans are included in that number.
Specific populations have been most inclined to vote in this state's in-person early voting period.
We've had a lot more young people engagement this cycle, I think, than we did last time.
But Valerie DeBille of the League of Women Voters in Austin says it's not apples to apples.
It's hard to compare 2020 because a lot more people voted by mail in 2020.
The latest polling gives Donald Trump an easy lead in Texas over Kamala Harris. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Donald Trump holds two events in Georgia today. Last night, his rally at Madison Square Garden included a warm-up act who said Kamala Harris began her career as a prostitute and called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. McDonald's Quarter Pounders are being brought back to the menu in most locations where they were taken off over E. coli fears linked to onions. World Series Game 3 tonight in New York. This is ABC News. Trial of the man accused of killing two girls in Delphi, Indiana, resumes today as lawyers for Richard Allen work to get the case thrown out. Here's ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
A clerk who entered more than 14,000 tips into a database uncovered a misfiled tip sheet, which claimed Allen was on the hiking trail where 14-year-old Libby German and 13-year-old Abby Williams were killed. State Police Lieutenant Jerry Holman telling the jury Allen became increasingly agitated but denied any involvement. Allen's lawyers pushed back, questioning his interrogation methods, why no Miranda rights were recorded, and how evidence was gathered. Holman acknowledging mistakes were made.
And only in New York, actor Timothy Chalamet crashed a Timothy Chalamet look-alike contest this weekend, one of his doppelgangers making his case for the top prize.
I'm feeling great right now.
Get this man $50.
Where's my 50 bucks?
And the organizers were fined $500 for holding the contest without a permit. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It is the first weekend of early in-person voting. If you plan on early voting, make sure to bring an official form of photo ID, like your driver's license. Earlier this week, the Wisconsin Election Commission reported that municipal clerks were having issues with label printing delays, but that issue has been resolved. Dough at a Wisconsin pizza place was tainted with THC. Public Health Madison Dane County staff say Famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton served pizza from Monday through Thursday with dough that was contaminated. Multiple people had to be taken to the hospital with symptoms like dizziness, increased heart rate, and vomiting. Famous Yeti shares an industrial kitchen with other businesses where they make food and other products. This makes it possible that it's an unfortunate and bizarre case of cross-contamination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 30-27 win in Jacksonville. Backup Malik Willis replaced Jordan Love at quarterback after he suffered a groin injury. Willis with a 51-yard pass to Jaden Reed set up the winning field goal and says they tried to run that play earlier in the game.
We were looking for this certain look, and we didn't get it the first time. Actually, we ran it twice, and then we ran it again, and we got the look we were looking for, and I feel like Jay Reed popped open, and I'm glad we got it to him.
Up next, the Packers host the Lions. The Wisconsin Badgers are on on the road Saturday against the Iowa Hawkeyes after losing at home to Penn State 28-13 over the weekend. Quarterback Braden Locke throwing a costly pick six in the second half. NBA, the Bucks in Boston tonight after losing to the Nets last night in Brooklyn, 115-102. How did Giannis play?
I thought Giannis played the right way the entire night. 22 points, 7 assists, 12 rebounds. I mean, guarding everywhere. I don't know what more you can do.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and a bit breezy today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 59. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Still breezy and warm with a high of 80. We will cool down with some scattered showers later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, President Biden apologizes for the atrocities of the Indian boarding schools. Also, why won't the LA Times or the Washington Post endorse this election cycle? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Oh, it's live all right. You just needed proof from that last segment to find out that this is a very live radio show brought to you by Courier Newsroom, unabashedly Wisconsin. It's Up North News Radio, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Monday morning, October 28th. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be with us in a moment. Greg Box, Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, congressional candidate, OBGYN, and human jukebox, able to join us as well when the computer goes down and we can't play any of the music. Tony and Ashlyn writes, never fix the mouse. That whole segment was gold. Don't fix it. So we've got one vote for Kristen singing our music during the history lesson from this point forward.
And to everybody else out there, I'm sorry.
And Rob from Tigerton. Rob from Tigerton is now demanding Monday morning karaoke after the elections with Kristen.
Oh, so, I love this. Come on.
Yep. Good morning from Tigerton, he writes. It's clear in 33, a relaxing Saturday after mowing some leaves. I like that. We're mowing the leaves phase of things. Mm-hmm. I went to Shawnee. I got to see Kristen and her friends at Franklin Park. They are nice people. Got to tour the bus. It was a great day. Yesterday, watched the Packers win, but seeing the Landover miracle, and Jim Nance has called three game-winning Hail Marys. He called Falcons 49ers in 91, Packers Lions in 2015, and the Bears and the Washington Commanders yesterday. I hadn't seen it live. I just started getting texts from people going, are you seeing this Bears game? To which Rob adds, hey, Brittany, how many Bears fans busted their TV sets last night after that game?
Oh, probably everyone.
For folks that missed it, the Bears had it won. They had scored a touchdown with less than 30 seconds left. They were in Washington. The Commanders got the ball. They were at their own 30-yard line. So they had to go 70 yards on a Hail Mary. And they did, because the one Bears player was busy mugging to the crowd and didn't get into his position in time. And the Washington quarterback heaved it up, tossed off a couple of Bears' hands and into the paws of a Washington player for the winning touchdown. It was really something to see. Yeah. So
it was incredible. I've never heard Craig yell so loud. Like, Craig is a police officer. He's like, he keeps it under taps. You know, he's like a calm guy. He was screaming in the kitchen. I was like, what? Yeah.
It was.
And the Bears fall to 4, and who cares? All right.
Pretty much. And that's how the fans are, too. They're like, this is typical.
Yep.
We're done.
Well, but again, they had the unbridled enthusiasm of another new quarterback, and this was going to be the quarterback that did it. and did not. So
I would never be a quarterback and play for the Bears. I'm just saying. There's some curse over there.
No. you want to be the kicker now that kicks for the Packers. after Brandon McManus, two games in a row, gets the game-winning field goal as time expires and the Packers go on to win. Brittany, forgive us for one moment. I got one other thing here of note. This is from Rob saying, the farmers who lease my family's property says that they are voting for Kristen. And he goes on to say, I want to make my own huge endorsement for Kristen for Congress. Aww. And Kristen's not the only endorsement news that you have for us this morning.
Well, first, thank you, Rob. It was really a joy to spend some time with you and Shauna this weekend. We have a huge endorsement that we are announcing today. Former coach Mike Holmgren, and not just Coach Holmgren, Super Bowl winning legendary Coach Holmgren, but also his daughter, Kala, who is a high-risk pregnancy doctor, are doing a joint endorsement for us today. And it is so exciting and just such an honor.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So much happening in these eight final days before the election. It's going to start with another nice warm-up. Then another cool down. Brittany, how warm are we talking before we head back to seasonal reality?
Ooh, near record breaking. I feel like a lot of places in the state are going to hit some records both tomorrow and potentially even into Wednesday as well as we hang on to some of that heat. So right now today, mid to upper 60s. A few more clouds out there. Breezy conditions out of the south are going to warm us up tomorrow to the upper 70s into the low 80s. I mean, this is going to be record-breaking. Records are from 1937, 1901, so quite a bit away. And we're going to hold on to those mid to upper 70s even into Wednesday as this cold front starts to creep near us. We'll still be nice and warm before the rain. And then the rain arrives, and that's going to be Wednesday throughout the day, even into our Thursday morning on Halloween morning. I'm hoping it kicks on out of here by the afternoon. It looks like it should. But those temperatures are going to plummet for those kids out there trick-or-treating. So keep in mind that by about 5 o'clock, it's going to be in the upper 40s and falling to the low 30s.
Of course it is.
No.
Of course it is. And of course, watching some national news this morning, they're talking about the big warm-up, and then they're talking about how Halloween is going to be so warm and wonderful for the kids out east. It's like, again, here in flyover land, you could maybe mention that it's going to get really cold for the trick-or-treaters again. So bake that into your costume ideas.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
So we got the costumes coming up, and Selena has already been busy with her award-winning costumes. What did you do with Emery over the weekend?
Emery's costume is Cindy Lou Who from The Grinch.
Of course.
Yes. And then I have a Max costume, so I have the antler.
Max?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's the most adorable thing I've heard today. That's so fun.
That's cute. Everybody, we went to different places downtown trick-or-treating here in Eau Claire. And so everybody was, because her hair was, you know, done up like the Cindy Lou Who hair. And she had a good outfit that we put together. So it was very cute. She won a contest. It was very cute.
That's so great. And now, is that what she'll be on Thursday as well? Or is this, I got a feeling you guys are like a Beyonce or a concert or Taylor. It's going to be all these costume changes along the way.
We did come out with a different one yesterday. We were a zookeeper and I was a tiger, so we switched it up, but she will be I know our friends are like, okay, here's number two, okay, here's we like costumes, it's our fun, and so we switch it up, but I think she decided she's gonna do Cindy Lou Who on Halloween.
That's great. Virginia writes in on Facebook, how is it even Halloween if I'm not wearing a snow suit under my costume? Welcome to the Midwest, Kristen.
Yep. That's my Irish cousin right there who's zooming in from literally Ireland. And I bet they're going to have a much more temperate Halloween than we are here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you all favorite costumes, Selena, of over the years. What costume do you look back and go, yep, that was the best one?
Oh, gosh. Well, Emery was trying to guess my favorite, and she said, I know what it was. Pippi Longstocking.
Oh,
was she right?
In the hair.
Well, that was good. I think that was probably a third grade. And my mom did my braids sticking out with wires. So the whole bit, yeah.
Oh, fun.
Pippi was a good one.
Kristen, you wear costumes, you know, or once did regularly as Goldie Gopher and whatever else you've done. But what's been your best Halloween costume?
You know, despite the fact that I was a mascot, I'm really not much of a costume person. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, my kids are not really costume people. My kids' favorite costume was when Julian went one year as enthusiastic guy in a coat. Like that was funny.
That sounds like some deep, like you read a philosophy book. You're like, I am interesting man in coat.
It was. That was what he went as, and that was what he told people he was, and that is in the lore of the Lyerly lore.
So. Now, Greg, you and I said we're not the biggest Halloween fan. Did you ever have a year where you put on something and go, okay, if I were, I'd wear that again?
Yeah. Well, I did one year. I went to a Halloween party and I had like a cheap Batman cowl, like of like a fabric, not even like a cool, like heavy material. So I put that on. I put it at a t-shirt that just had the old Adam West Batman logo, a pair of cargo shorts and flip flops. And I fashioned a holster for a bottle of whatever I wanted out of duct tape. And I just walked around. And I called myself Batman Dad on the weekend. And I was just grumbling and complaining. Grumbling and complaining about Wonder Woman or Catwoman or whatever woman broke my heart. You know, they're not my kids. I know it.
Wow. We're putting a lot of thought into these costumes. I mentioned having dressed up as a gangster on Saturday for a function, and I'd completely forgotten till I was talking to my daughters last night, and they said, well, you were a gangster once before. And I realized they weren't talking about Halloween, but the St. Joseph's Hospital Auxiliary Ball was held every spring in Chippewa Falls for many years. And I emceed it for quite a few years in a row. There was always a theme. And so that year was kind of a 30s theme. And so I was in the gangster outfit. And again, you had months in advance. You had to get your whole costume and shtick ready. And I think the one I think I actually liked best, just because the costume fit so well, good colors and everything, was there was a circus theme one year, and I was in this ringmaster outfit, which was really nice. Kristen.
I don't really see you as a gangster. Like, that's a stretch for me, but mm-hmm. I could see you as maybe like Captain Kangaroo.
That's not what I was.
We all enjoyed Kristen Lyerly's many appearances over the years. We wish her well in her future endeavors.
It was not the compliment you thought it was it, huh?
You guys remember the plastic masks with the
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and they'd get all sweaty as you tried to breathe.
Yeah. What are you this year? I'm sweaty He-Man. All right, cool.
And that's just a plastic like cape.
But whatever, you know, we had the old plastic outfits and everything, but I spent a big chunk of my childhood in a big apartment complex with like at least 200 units in it, at least 300 units in it. And so while most kids go to, you know, trick or treating with like a little plastic pumpkin or something, you always went with a pillowcase. And that thing filled up, man. I mean, not all the way full, but you basically got a pillowcase full of candy. Nice. By being there. Oh, good morning, Whiskers. Whiskers has come in, and it's like somebody needed a Halloween cap to get right in the camera.
Hello, Whiskers. We meet again.
So we had to get all of this out of the way because on Halloween, we're not going to be talking about this. We're going to be grumbling about the weather because that's apparently what we're left with now is cold and rain. All right. We mentioned that the Packers were winners yesterday. Also over the weekend, let's see, the Bucks lost to the Brooklyn Nets 115-102. They are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. The Badger football team lost to third ranked Penn State 28-13. Their next game is at Iowa this coming Saturday evening. NBC has the game on TV. Civic Media has the game here on your radio. Stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, and on the Civic Media app. When we come back, Selena's going to be talking all about the business community, again, continuing to get the message that a healthy childcare sector makes for a healthy economy. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the Farm Bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is the actual Janet Jackson album, Rhythm Nation, released this day in 1989. It is not Kristen doing her beatbox thing like she was in our last hour when the music wasn't working. So
we know we can.
Yes, we are 15 minutes away from talking to Matthew Lenner, who is the chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin, talking about college students who are getting texted with false information or intimidating information designed to prevent them from voting. We will talk more about that and other issues important to the many college student voters out there as we head to the final full week of the 2024 campaign. And we are less than 30 minutes away from the beginning of our weekly 7:50 in the morning visits with Jane Mattenair, talking about what's on Mattenair on Air with Jane and Greg. That Greg, right over there.
I'm Greg. I'm Greg.
He will be joining us. Let's see. We got a note on YouTube as well from Alicia Saunders saying that she had a great conversation yesterday at Doing Doors about childcare, which takes us to Selena Heller and the story that she's going to be doing for Up North News. You've done a couple of stories now about childcare, the crisis of affordable, quality childcare, how school districts are trying to help out, and how the business community is trying to help out as well.
Oh, right. And a few weeks ago, we talked to a lot of school districts, several, just about how they're adding daycares or want to add daycares onto their schools. And now we're talking to the business community. So a lot happening out there with childcare because it's such a widespread issue and not just one person's problem to deal with. So in this case, it is about business leaders. And so in 2017, this happened in Jackson County where a CEO of a credit union and a Jackson Electric just were talking in the lobby of a credit union. And they were like, yeah, how's it going? You know, and they started talking about childcare. And that's how it all began.
Well, because they were really getting into the notion of they were losing a lot of productivity, right?
Yes, exactly. They were talking about, a lot of people weren't coming to work. And that was the start of the whole big conversation.
Okay. So who's going to talk to us about that here?
So this is Mary Ann Torkelson, and she is the chair of the Jackson County Child Care Network. And now this organization started since that conversation, and now it's a nonprofit. So it is doing a lot of good in the county. And so this is what she had to say about kind of the how they started and the work they did, and they did a survey and kind of had a big number of in lost productivity. So here's Mary Ann.
We found that employers in Jackson County were losing over $2.5 million a year in productivity
due to childcare. Employees were unable to come to work. They were coming in late. Were not able to work to their full potential while they were working. Many days they would spend struggling to find childcare for the next day. Add to that then what that did to the families. You know, little kids were going to bed at night. Mommy, where am I going to go tomorrow? Well, I'm not sure, honey, but when you wake up in the morning, mommy will have it figured out. So there's just a lack of consistent quality care for those children.
So they were clearly aware. These, you know, more and more employers were trying to figure it out. So what did this particular little consortium do about it?
Well, a lot of people kind of joined that effort. First, it was business leaders, and then they got the schools involved and public health care leaders and providers and parents and local government, even the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families kind of all got involved. And they did lots of talking, trying to come up with little innovative ideas. And so then they got some grants and they were trying to help out existing daycares and pay more money to the workers. And so Marianne now talks about just kind of the critical importance of high quality childcare for a healthy Wisconsin economy and some money they got from appropriations from Senator Tammy Baldwin.
That is a fantastic grant for us to receive. And we are just getting started in doing some planning. As we wrote the grant, we were looking at innovative solutions, micro centers, incubators, just all kinds of different things to really support not only group centers, but also family providers. We find in our community that many families prefer that small, intimate family provider. And so what can we do to make starting your own childcare business easy for providers? How can we support them? How can we give them the tools and the mentoring that they need to do that effectively?
So we're seeing that investment made in this case with federal dollars through Senator Baldwin. Obviously, this was something that Governor Evers wanted to get done in the legislature as well, but was not able to do that because the Republican legislature, in the middle of the night, in a 2:30 a.m. vote in the Joint Finance Committee, took Governor Evers' proposal for child care counts and took his, $350 million in pandemic aid that he wanted to use for this and turned it to zero. So, you know, he eventually did find some other pandemic aid to put to use, but this problem is still far from fixed.
Oh, right. I mean, they got $1 million. You know, that makes you think, okay, it makes you stop and think. And then that $2.5 million in lost productivity, she said, you know, that made the community stop and think this really is a problem. So it's not going to be helped anytime soon or fixed anytime soon. It'll be helped with more and more of these groups are coming together, like the Jackson County Child Care Network in the state of Wisconsin, after, you know, realizing they all need to kind of come up with solutions. So there are more groups like this forming. So that's kind of a positive thing in all of this.
That's something that a potential future member of Congress might want to know about and be able to help out families and, frankly, the Northeast Wisconsin economy.
Well, sure. I mean, also a mother of four who is still paying off my student loan debt because of childcare. And we lived in Madison, so there were lots of options, but it was still a struggle for us. When you are in a small town, a county like Jackson County, Oconto County, where childcare providers are struggling to provide childcare, people are struggling to access childcare. Here is another place where people who live in rural areas are disproportionately affected, and we have an opportunity to lift families up and build communities by investing in childcare.
And you're going to do that by giving a tax cut just to millionaires? Is that how it works?
No.
That's to hear some people. Radio producers.
Right? No, it does not. It takes targeted investments in the middle class.
It does.
All right. Well, Kristen, thanks so much. Good luck. We'll touch base soon. Safe travels on the campaign trail there.
See you later.
Selena, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the importance of that college student vote in the 8th Congressional District, in the 3rd, and all over the state. That's coming up next. You're up north.
Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin has a new national FFA officer. I'm Pia Bianchi with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. And we'll introduce you to this FFA member from East Troy next.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
As the National FFA Convention drew to a close on Friday in Indianapolis, a young woman from East Troy, Wisconsin, assumed her role as the new Central Region National FFA Officer. Her name, Mary Schreiber. She said it wasn't a role that she saw herself playing until late in her high school experience.
I grew up without a lot of agriculture experience, and for a long time I really perceived that as a weakness or something that I should hide. But eventually this agricultural community and this national organization really encouraged me to use that perspective and those experiences to my advantage, because within this organization, every experience and every perspective is valuable. And it took me, I always say, sort of an embarrassingly long time to realize that value in my experiences. And the love I have for this industry is because of the people.
That's Mary Schreiber from East Troy, Wisconsin, the new Central Regional National FFA Officer. You can find out more about how the convention wrapped up in Indianapolis at ffa.org.
At Wiffles Hybrids, we like to speak in metaphors. For example, when it's seed decision time and you're at that fork in the road and time is money, you might want to choose a partner that's a little more underdog, a little more David than Goliath. Because you deserve a family-owned company that marches to the beat of their own drum, whose product lineup and customer service is the whole enchilada, the whole ball of wax, the whole kit and caboodle. Wiffles Hybrids. Plant your independence.
And the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is partnering with the Badger State Sheriff's Association. Their goal? To try to make sure that people recognize the critical issues of mental health in rural communities. According to Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, they hope this partnership will be part of extending their farm neighbors care message to rural areas. They say the partnership will also give county sheriffs a little bit more access to resources for those who may be facing mental health struggles, including farmers, veterans, and children. You can find out more at WFBF.com. That's a look at food and fiber news on a Monday. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy and a bit breezy today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 59. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine, still breezy and warm with a high of 80. We will cool down with some scattered showers later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Surprise! Your expenses this month were way higher than you expected! Also, you forgot to renew your website domain and now you're in a bidding war!
You should see the look on your face!
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises because they cost you money. But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Plus, the fridge died in the break room and now everything smells weird!
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former Illinois Congressman and former Tea Party member Joe Walsh. He's a firebrand and he's going to light it up about why your vote matters more than ever.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Monday morning. It's the 28th day of October, 8 days away now from Election Day. We mentioned earlier that there was a rally at Madison Square Garden last evening for former President Donald Trump. Again, we say things are going to get a little crazier. Racier isn't the right word. Racistier is perhaps the right word for what we heard there yesterday. But on the other hand, we also have seen more happy instances of joy, of surrogates and VIPs that are campaigning on behalf of Vice President Kamala Harris. There will be more surrogates coming through the area this week, all across Wisconsin. It says, a Journal Sentinel story notes that Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance will hold an event at the Wausau downtown airport this afternoon at 2. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz will be in Manitowoc and Waukesha today, according to the campaign. Vice President Kamala Harris will be at UW-Madison on Wednesday. Of course, former President Barack Obama was in Madison last week. And former President Trump will hold a rally at the Fiserv Forum this coming Friday, site of the Republican National Convention, but also an equally large crowd for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz during the Democratic Convention. All this is to say that voting is going on right now, and that you should vote. You should vote early if you're able. Go to myvote.wi.gov for more information. And if you are a college student, the rules about voting are not ambiguous. You might have to review them, but do not be fooled by mysterious text messages that you might be getting meant to intimidate you into not voting. And to join us with more about that right now, we're proud to be joined by Matthew Lehner, who is the chair of the Wisconsin College Democrats. Matthew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. So great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. And obviously, we want to talk to you anyway about the importance of college students voting all around the state. But of course, first, we have to take care of the monkey business that's going on here. And these are texts that, you know, in some ways are not necessarily, you know, threatening. But we saw the same thing with billboards that were put up in predominantly, Milwaukee areas with communities of color that said, voter fraud is a crime and meant to intimidate. Now, college students, some of them, are getting texts that say, warning, violating Wisconsin Statute 12.13 or 6.18 may result in fines up to $10,000 or 3.5 years in prison. Don't vote in a state where you're not eligible. And Matthew, that all might even be factually true, but of course, it's not there as a public service announcement, is it?
No, it is certainly not. I just want to be clear right off the bat. If you are a college student in the state of Wisconsin, you are a Wisconsin resident and are able to vote on campus. It is legally allowed. Do not listen to these text messages. You get these text messages reported to the Wisconsin Elections Commission because it's voter intimidation.
That's all it is just, again, like the billboards themselves, is exactly. Anything that makes somebody think twice, like, oh, voting might not be worth the hassle. But the like you said, the rule is very clear. In Wisconsin, if you have lived in a particular election district or a ward, a precinct, whatever terminology you use, if you've lived in there for 28 consecutive days without the intention of leaving anytime soon, you can vote. You can vote in that district. The important point legally is then, now, don't also vote back home, whether right. It's in Wisconsin or in another state. But as a college student, essentially, you have a little bit more power than you know. You can vote back home or you can vote where you're going to college and figure out where does my vote make the most difference? Because, again, legally, you're a voter here. You're a resident here. You're a voter here.
Exactly. Yeah, and I of course make the case in my role as chair of Wisconsin College Democrats when I'm tabling on campuses, as well as encouraging my board as well to make sure that we encourage students to vote in Wisconsin, because this is a swing state. And of course, on my end, I want Kamala Harris and Tim Walz to be the next president and vice president of the United States. And your vote has a lot more impact here than it does in Minnesota or anywhere else. And frankly, college students live most of their time here, spend most of their time here. If you work in the state of Wisconsin, you know, you pay taxes in the state of Wisconsin, sales tax, obviously. And so it's important to have, you know, your voice heard here, because you live most of the time here. And so, you know, it's just natural to vote here in the state of Wisconsin versus anywhere else.
And I'm glad to hear you use that phrase. You are a taxpayer here. Now, yes. Again, you know, not maybe you're not paying, you know, I was going to say Donald Trump level, but his taxes are a whole different matter. You're not paying Eric Hovde level taxes, but you're paying taxes here. You're right. Working here. And frankly, if you're also voting here, you may feel a bit more invested in the outcome and want to put down roots here. And that's something that's very important to folks in Wisconsin, is that college students, wherever they came from originally, when they're done with college, feel like this is a place they can call home where they can work, pay taxes, and vote.
Yes, exactly. And I am originally from Waukesha County, Sussex, to be specific. And, you know, I lived there 18 years of my life before coming up to school, came up to Eau Claire, fell in love with the area in the Chippewa Valley. And so I'd like to make roots here too. And so voting is a natural way of doing that, making roots, you know, establishing residency, having stake in the community. You know, I've run for local office twice up in Eau Claire as well. So again, you know, it's just about using your power, using your voice, and you know, it's a great way to establish a residency and get involved in the community as well.
Yeah, I mean, you and I both know a thing about coming to UW-Eau Claire and falling in love with the Chippewa Valley. It just has a way of doing that. Now, I know, obviously, from past experience and from, you know, recent evidence, that voting on campus, like voting in a lot of places, may involve some very long lines. Early voting is certainly an option, but there is also the option next week that I think you want to pass on to college students wherever they are, and voters wherever they are. You have the option to be patient while we're in that line and not, yes, not get discouraged. Don't go home.
Right. And I just want to say, like, you have options too, right? Pat, you've said at the top of the hour of your show today and throughout the show, I'm sure that early voting is happening now. You can cast your ballot early. If you're a Wisconsin college student, that applies to you too. Go to our Instagram, College Democrats of Wisconsin. We have a post up there that for every campus of what your early voting location is. And so you can make your voice heard that way as well. In most cases, all you need is your student ID. And then the polling place, if you live on campus, the polling place has the on-campus residency book there. So you can vote early at your early voting location, get it done with, and skip those lines. But of course, you know, if you are welcome to decide to vote on an election day. There may be some lines, but I will assure you that our College Dems chapters will be handing out snacks and food and everything like that in line. And it's important just to stay in line because this election is so critical and so much is on the line. So any time that you spend waiting in line is worth it so that we get the right people in office.
Can we talk about the importance statewide of college students, especially in the areas where they can truly make a difference? And I often think of the 3rd Congressional District about that. Absolutely. With the schools that are either in the 3rd Congressional District or near enough that there are students who live within the borders of the 3rd Congressional District. And when you look at how close these races are, I mean, college students alone could be a difference maker next week, Tuesday, in that key swing district.
You're absolutely right. And it is not hyperbole when we say that Wisconsin college students will be the margin of victory in the state. We have seen in past elections, whether it's 2022 and 2023, that we move the needle for Democrats up and down the ballot. And why is that? Because Democrats are speaking to young people. The Democratic agenda is the agenda that young people get behind and believe in, whether it's gun rights, gun control, whether it is, you know, climate justice, racial justice, voting rights. All of those important issues are the issues that young people care about. And so if young people, you know, get out in record numbers as we did in 2022 and 2023, we will be the difference in this election, especially since it is so close. And when people say it will come down to 2 votes per ward, that is no joke. It may come down to that in this state, as well as Michigan and Pennsylvania. And so if you're a college student, just know that you have the impact to make the decision on who will get elected to the White House this November. In addition, as you mentioned, the 3rd congressional race, you know, Derek Van Orden is not an ally of young people. And in fact, yelling at Senate pages, had an ethics complaint filed against him for doing just that. And so, you know, there are six college campuses across the 3rd Congressional District as well. And those college campuses, I certainly believe, too, given that the race between Rebecca Cook and Derek Van Orden is so close, according to the polls, that we will be the tipping point in that seat as well. So you have a lot of power to make a difference. If you believe that this country should go forward in a new direction with Kamala Harris, Rebecca Cook, Tammy Baldwin as well, then make sure to use your power in the state, because it couldn't be more critical.
We're talking to Matthew Lehner. He's chair of the Wisconsin College Democrats, and we're talking about college students and the power they have for voting coming up next week, or early voting. And yours is a generation, as every, you know, next generation, every new generation of voters is more savvy on the technology and the media than the one before. We have talked at great length about how social media has pros and cons, the immense damage that was done in 2016 by Russian-based disinformation that found its way through Facebook. Right. When you look at the landscape of social media right now, how would you frame, you know, both the good and the bad from it? I'm going to guess that the bad isn't so much misinformation as if you're exposed to it too much, it's so negative and you want to walk away from it. But would you put something else in its place? And what about the positives of social media for college age voters?
Yeah, well, I would certainly agree with you on that last point. My Twitter feed can get a little scary sometimes, as well as the rest of my social media feeds. But needless to say, I think social media has a tremendous positive influence on elections, in addition to getting young people out to vote. I think there's no way that we would have had the record turnout that we did on campus in the 2023 Supreme Court election without social media and groups coming in, as well as, you know, famous TikTokers that talked about elections and were getting into the hearts and minds of young people and the screens of young people, talking about the importance of electing Janet Protasiewicz. If we did not have that perfect storm, I don't think you would have seen a scenario where, in fact, that Janet Protasiewicz got more votes than Tony Evers did on the UW-Eau Claire campus, which for a spring election is unheard of. So social media has tremendous power. And I think you're seeing that in 2024 with, you know, several social media influencers talking about this election, you know, Wisco Project as well, you know, putting, you know, millions of dollars into digital ads across the state of Wisconsin, and the Democratic Party as well, investing in digital ads specifically targeted to college students. So it has tremendous power. And of course, you know, the downside is that, you know, folks like me who are unashamed about their viewpoints, you know, get a lot of cyberbullying online, and I have thick skin, so it's no problem for me. But I, of course, disinformation is an extremely bad problem that we see. And I think it does affect young people because, you know, I oftentimes get that from young people that come up to table that, like, the border is the most important issue and that Kamala's not doing anything about the border. And then you have to kind of, you know, get into them and say, like, well, look, you know, when Donald Trump was, you know, president, not only did he do nothing about the border, but when he was a former president, he actually blocked a border bill that would have solved the border security issue from passing, a bipartisan border bill from passing. So, you know, obviously social media does have a lot of disinformation and that does affect young people, but it's important that we cut through it. But I think in general, social media has a tremendous impact on the way we do elections, and it gets young people out to vote, which is always so critical.
And the thing that I like most now is that we've gone from a time where I think a lot of college students weren't plugged in and right. maybe turned to, you know, mom and dad or somebody else and said, hey, what do you know about these candidates? To now it's the college students who can right. ring up, you know, their parents or a sibling or whatever and say, you know, hey, here's a little personal canvassing. Here's a little, you know, what I think, and maybe be that influencer on somebody else's vote. Matthew Lehner is chair of the College Dems of Wisconsin. Appreciate it so much, Matthew. Thank you for all you're doing. I know you got a crazy week ahead of you, so thanks for taking some time with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, Pat. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day. And by the way, you can get Dan Schaefer's voting guide from civicmedia.us. Again, that's a review of all 115 legislative races and much more. That's at civicmedia.us. And the Up North News voting guide, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click voting guide in the top banner. Jane Matinair joins us right after this. You're up north.
Devils in the house of the rising sun. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. During the politics season, while I do listen to all the words that folks say, I prefer to crunch the numbers behind all their fancy speeches. And the number I'm thinking about today is $7.5 trillion. That is a moderate estimate by the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget of what conservatives' plans will add to the national debt. This includes continuing tax cuts for the wealthiest people and lowering the tax rate for some corporations, and it is a lot of money. And, you know, money's going to have to come from somewhere. We can't afford anything that might create cuts to Social Security or Medicare. Seniors who've paid into Social Security are counting on that money for retirement. I don't want us risking Social Security by adding $7.5 trillion to the national debt. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
We have now made so many people look at their watch, go, wait, what? Is it 10 a.m.? No.
I just did that.
But soon it will be 10 a.m. when Greg Bach is joined by Jane Matinere, radio professional, who joins us now on Up North News Radio. Jane, good morning.
Good morning, Pat Kreitlow. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you.
Oh, this is lovely. I really appreciate this. You're starting and kind of telling us what to expect this week with you and Mr. Bach on air. How was your weekend?
The weekend was great, and I actually got some stuff done outside. It was such a nice weekend, okay. Weather-wise anyway. Yeah. And then, tragically, I spent way too much time yesterday on Twitter following the hate rally at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, boy. That thing was, I worried, not worried, but I was concerned. People for the couple of weeks leading up to it were like, oh, man, this is going to be practically a Nazi rally. This is going to be just ugly. And I thought, well, it might not. And, boy, it was as bad or worse. And we're not going to play the clips again, but I'm sure you'll hear them throughout the course of the day here. Just some of the racist garbage that was out there. Which is, you know, the Trump campaign was eventually going to go that way, and I'm sure you'll chat about it. So let's start with something a bit more, maybe positive isn't the right word.
Hopeful.
But Michelle Obama is not having this.
And a great speaker she is.
Oh, she's amazing when she is positive, and don't worry, she was plenty positive in her remarks in Kalamazoo yesterday. But she also had this to say, speaking for a lot of us out there.
So I hope you'll forgive me if I'm a little frustrated that some of us are choosing to ignore Donald Trump's gross incompetence while asking Kamala to dazzle us at every turn. I hope that you'll forgive me if I'm a little angry that we are indifferent to his erratic behavior. His obvious mental decline, his history as a convicted felon, a known slumlord, a predator found liable for sexual abuse, all of this, while we pick apart Kamala's answers from interviews that he doesn't even have the courage to do, y'all.
Don't make her bust out the y'all, because that's it's serious then. And she is 1,000% right.
Mom's that we so are mad holding at us.
We are such we are at such a different standard between one or the other, Jane.
Can you imagine if any of the things that were said yesterday at the Madison Square Garden rally had been said by Democrats?
Any of them. Any one of them.
Pick yeah. anything. These people, we need to slaughter them. We need to. There were so many. It's just the dichotomy between the Harris campaign and the Trump campaign, and the level of anger and vitriol and overall nastiness that is being celebrated. And that should concern all of us.
But to what degree, Jane, are we still going through a bit of PTSD about 2016? Because, again, there was nothing but confidence in Hillary Clinton. But, again, because Hillary wasn't perfect, or because of complacency, Hillary's got this in the bag. A lot of folks didn't show up in 2016, and that was the margin. That, in my mind, it always will be. And I just don't think people are doing that this time around. They've learned their lesson. They're going to vote. But good luck finding many Democrats who would exude anything resembling confidence, even after a Trump rally like that last night.
I don't disagree with you, Pat. And I've seen some folks, some other journalists say things like, it's so like the Democrats to just assume we're going to lose. And the other side, the Republican side, is always so remarkably confident that of course we're going to win. Why would we not win? So I guess I would rather have the Harris supporters feel a little concerned and a little less confident, so that it motivates them to continue over the next 8 days to knock on doors or to make phone calls or to, we say it in our show all the time, share what you know. If you understand what this constitutional amendment will do, then share that with your friends and neighbors and explain to them how this is going to narrow the focus on who is going to be allowed to vote. That's what I think is important. It's easy to get frustrated, downheartened, but disheartened, but we got to keep it up. We got to keep it up. I voted early on Friday, and I waited about a half an hour, and I just don't think that we've seen early voting turnout like this before.
No, we haven't, and we'll have fresh numbers here coming up in just a bit. What kind of things do you have coming up this week between 10 a.m. and noon?
Well, today we are going to be talking to Christy Welch. She is running in the Wisconsin 88th Assembly District. Of course, you, Mr. Kreitlow, will be joining us tomorrow from 10:30 to 11. One of our favorite guests, Mary Hayes, is going to be here tomorrow from 11 to 11:30. She is the head of the Bayfield-Ashland Democratic Party. And I'm looking forward to an update from Mary on whether or not she concreted her Harris Wall signs into the ground so they weren't able to steal them anymore. On Wednesday, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here, of course, running in the 8th Congressional District. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Wisconsin Democrats, joining us Wednesday from 11 to 11:30. And, of course, we wrap up every show every day now with our regular feature called This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
What? So is that a daily feature now?
It's a daily feature.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a favorite or two for folks who might wonder, like, what kinds of
Fridays
things?
Fridays was pretty good. Fridays This Shouldn't Be a Thing was a Republican operative looking to encourage Republicans in Pennsylvania to vote. And he went to an address and he didn't see any people there. It was listed that there were 53 voters at this location. Oh, it was a convent.
It was a convent.
It was a convent.
No, that's voter fraud. Yeah, no, you just wouldn't understand holy people if they bit you in the rosary.
That's one of our most recent This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Wonderful.
Another one was a woman in Thailand who was washing her dishes, and she got bit, and it was a 14-foot-long python that wrapped around her for two and a half hours.
That shouldn't be a thing.
That shouldn't be a thing.
Jane Mattner, back at 10 a.m. Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful Monday.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap the events of the weekend. I'm sure nothing will have happened. And we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.